You need a license for that? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today, as usual, is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Good to be here. It's a beautiful night. I have the door open, have all the evening sounds and smells coming in. Hopefully they can't hear those evening sounds, but it's not too loud, so I don't feel too bad.
Well, I'm glad you don't feel too bad, because if you did feel bad, now you'd have to be careful, Chuck, because let's say you did feel bad, and let's say that you felt bad, but you figured out a way to make yourself feel better, and you wanted to share that with people. And so what would we do in today's technological age? We would go to the blog. We would go out and we would type in the things that we've experienced, some of the things we've done, maybe some of the great nutraceutical preparations we've taken from Rocky Fork formulas, and we would tell people that that made us feel better, and it might make you feel better too. Well, Chuck, you know what? It could very well happen in Ohio, but in North Carolina, a person who did just those very things has been threatened with jail time for violating Article 25 of Chapter 90 of the North Carolina General Statute, because he was charged with practicing nutrition without a license. Yes, you do need a license for that.
Well, now, unfortunately, you can't see them because due to a technical glitch, you can't open the document. But I'm sitting here looking at a warning letter that he received, and this thing has 19 pages. It's handwritten. It's basically a copy of this man's website with handwritten notes in red on it. And it's telling him that because he's saying...
Well, before we get into that, Phil, let's do a little backfill for our listeners. The blogger in question is a guy by the name of Steve Cooksey, and he writes at the blog diabeteswarrior.net. Now, you would think with a blog site with that name, what is he going to be writing on? He's going to be writing on diabetic issues, and that's exactly what he was writing on, because he's a diabetic. He was hospitalized with diabetes in February of 2009, and he'd already had a family member who had died from the disease, so he decided to have a little lifestyle change, and he did some things after his hospitalization. He embraced a low-carb diet, what they call the caveman diet, which is sort of like Atkins, I guess. It's lots and lots of protein and very little carbs. As a matter of fact, I'm right now, Chuck, doing one where I'm trying to limit my carb intake by as much as possible and up my protein and my fresh fruits and vegetables intake. So I understand what he's doing, but of course, I might just be guilty of practicing nutrition without a license just by saying that. But what happened is, it worked for him. And so within 30 days of going on this diet, he was off the drugs and off insulin. And he'd lost 45 pounds. And he decided that, you know, he felt so good about himself and getting healthy that he decided he'd start this blog called diabeteswarrior.net. Tell everybody else about what worked for him. That was his big mistake, Chuck, because the nutrition Nazis came to the forefront after he put this up on a blog site. And you were talking about the report that he was mailed from the director of the North Carolina Board of Nutrition. Yes, that's right, folks. They definitely have a state agency for nutrition. We have it in Ohio. It's called the Dietetics Board.
Exactly. Honestly, they think they have control over anything that you might want to eat, or anyone. Really, what they think they have control of is telling you what to eat. And anyone who advises you, as far as they're concerned, has to have a license. Like, for instance, if at the state fair, I see you eating some kind of a monstrosity from the Heart Attack Grill, and if I come up to you and say, you know, Barry, that's not good for you.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, if I want to eat it, keep out of my business.
Exactly, but the whole point is that because I said that to you, according to these people, I have practiced dietetics without a license.
Yeah, that's all it takes, ladies and gentlemen. As a matter of fact, one of the things that Cooksey was written up for by the nutrition board was he had someone who sent an email to his blog site about a friend who has diabetes, and when Cooksey responded back in the email, like we're all want to do when people email us about things, he said, your friend must first and foremost obtain and maintain normal blood sugar. Well, that makes sense, because that's a key to controlling or battling diabetes, is watching your blood sugar. That's just common sense, Chuck. That's really not anything that rises to the level of having to, like, you know, go to med school for 6 to 8 years and pay a lot of money to the state to get a license to practice medicine, but it does in North Carolina, because according to the official who's sending that 19-page hand-noted report, that's assessing and advising, and that requires a license.
Essentially, the whole thing about maintaining your blood sugar, it's a statement of the obvious. Sure, you have to maintain your blood sugar if you're a diabetic. No kidding. Otherwise, you'll die. This is something that anyone with common sense would know. The whole point is that this man has not told anyone anything beyond what they already know. You got to maintain your blood sugar. But that's the whole point with some of these dietetics laws. Some of them are so patently absurd that they essentially defy description. For instance, here's what Cooksey writes in a section called Vegetarian and Diabetes Question. He says, periodically, I will select questions and answer them via post. Here's the first handwritten note. If people are writing you with diabetic-specific questions and you are responding, you are no longer just providing information. You are counseling. You need a license to provide this service. Well, if he had set up shop and hung out a shingle and said, I'm going to cure your diabetes with my plan, and you're going to have to pay me for that, you may have a point. The
right,
state may have a point in that position. But this guy is disseminating information on a website for free. He's not selling a program, as near as I can tell.
Shame on him.
he is disseminating advice based on something that he's done himself. But the busybodies at the Dietetics Board in North Carolina have decided that no one but someone who is a member of their fraternity should be allowed to do that. Now, again, as far as we can tell, this is not a for-pay service. This is a free service, which means he's not doing it for profit or gain. He's doing it for the personal satisfaction of having told someone what worked for him. I would say Mr. Cooksey, again, I don't know, having not read his website in detail, operates like a lot of the rest of us do. And that is, hey, I found this, it worked for me, it might work for you. The whole thought that everyone on earth is going to respond exactly the same to the same kind of diet is so anti-intuitive that it's beyond description that anyone would even have to explain that. Everybody knows that some people are sensitive to some things and not others. For instance, some people do really well on mostly meat and very few vegetables, and other people have to eat vegetables and almost no meat, or they do terribly. You never know for sure until you find out for yourself what you respond the best for. And what this fella is doing is saying, you know, here's my description, here's what I did, here's what worked for me, and maybe you should try it too.
Well, Chuck, that's something here, because what we're dealing with is free speech. But this man has the right under our Constitution to free speech, and what he did was he did what so many others do. He put up a blog site. Now, on his blog site, he was talking about his experiences, and when people started asking him questions, he was reiterating and sharing those experiences with them. And part of what they banged him on, you can provide a list of what you eat as part of your diet, and it's acceptable to the board for you to do that. But when you start recommending it to people who write to you, you're providing counseling again, and you got to get a license for that. So basically what's happened, he had to shut his website down, Chuck. He stopped writing his advice column. He took down his diabetes support packages and made the disclaimer more prominent. Back at the beginning of April, the North Carolina Dietetics and Nutrition Board said, okay, we're closing the case. But they've said that they will continue to monitor him. Chuck, if a case is closed, why would you still be monitoring?
Because you are desperately looking for a reason to maintain your position on the dietetics board. I'm assuming if this guy accidentally utters advice to diabetics in his sleep, he can be sure that the dietetics board, if they've been listening, will issue him a citation forthwith. And that's exactly what they mean. If this guy posts something on a website in which he tells someone to lose weight or something, or eat vegetables and cut out Coca-Cola and not eat French fries and not eat so much hamburger and maybe try eating some cauliflower and some broccoli once in a while, He is going to be spanked. And here's how I know that's going to happen. Because, again, in a handwritten note, here is a question that came in. I tried going vegetarian, vegan several times pre-diabetes diagnosis, so I can sympathize, but it's not a healthy diet if he was eating glutinous and or sugary foods with hydrogenated vegetable oils. In many ways, vegetarian diet is healthier than the typical diets for diabetics. Many have reported reduced blood sugars on a, there's part of a word missing here, it's not a healthy diet for diabetes. I will maintain this position until someone can show me a vegan or vegetarian diabetic who is drug and insulin free with normal blood sugars. Okay, here's what the handwritten note is. Here you are giving this person advice based on what she has said to you. There is a difference between writing a blog on your beliefs regarding a vegan diet and telling someone else what they should. In the first scenario, you are sharing your opinion. In the second, you are advising. Counseling. Counseling and advising requires a license. Now, tell me the difference between just sort of generally stating it and telling a specific person the same thing that you would say if you were stating it generally.
you can't win with that one.
Of course you can't.
Of course
and it's designed that way. Again, this is the head of the dietetics board justifying his existence.
Well, you got it. Now, Chuck, I want to think about this for a second because obviously he was talking about things related to diabetes. And so therefore, maybe they got their dander up illegitimately, but there are certain things that you shouldn't be doing if you're not a medical professional. However, the nutrition Nazis in the world, and I use that term not lightly, including the Federal Food and Drug Administration, have been notorious for having the oversight of everything. As a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, according to the article out of WorldNet Daily by Jack Miner, who wrote about this particular issue, states that in 2010, the FDA raided the offices of an organization called Daniel Chapter 1, a Christian ministry that promotes a diet based on the Bible chapter that is namesake, after a federal judge refused to allow the Federal Trade Commission to level a massive fine against the company. So in other words, judge shuts down the FTC from trying to find them out of existence. So the FDA turns around and raids 2010 with guns drawn, and they take everything out of the offices and every piece of personal correspondence, phone records, everything, just to find out if they could find some reason where he actually advised somebody on how to treat an illness.
Exactly.
So that's one extreme. Now, on the other extreme, and Mr. Miner in his article notes this, and it's legitimate, that under Obamacare, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, the FDA has determined that a person's own body is considered a drug and subject to regulation. Now, I've heard just in the last few days, Chuck, where that thing is working out where there are places out west where someone can go and have their own adult stem cells extracted and then manipulated and then reinserted back into them in order to address health issues. Because those stem cells are coming out of somebody's body and under Obamacare, that's considered a drug. They can't do that anymore.
So, look, there are all kinds of scenarios you can come up with, like, for instance, storing up your own blood for upcoming surgery. Would that not make your own blood a drug?
Yes, it does. It's exactly what it does, Chuck. This is unintended consequences of a regulatory structure that has gone absolutely nuts.
Everything's haywire, Barry.
And folks, we've heard about it here in Ohio. You know, you've had raids on raw milk producers. You've had raids on natural food co-op up in the Lorain County area. But even this, now get this, Chuck, and this is what Miner ends his article with, and I think it's something we can note on here, that the FDA has suggested that bottled water, when used to treat dehydration, and the word treat is the key, should be regulated as a drug. So in other words, if somebody's hot and sweaty and tired and they've been working or exercising or whatever, and you grab a bottle of water out of the fridge and you hand it to them and say, hey, here, you shouldn't get dehydrated, guess what? Not only is that water potentially going to be considered a drug by the FDA, but the nutrition board may come in and say you're practicing dietetics or nutrition without a license.
And that's the point, Barry, because that's exactly what can happen. The dietetics board would come in, cite FDA regulation, and say, this is a drug under this scenario, and you practice dietetics without a license.
Exactly.
We need to tell people that there is an effort in Ohio. There is a bill up right now. It's in committee. It's stuck in committee.
It's in the Health, Human Services, and Aging Committee in the Ohio House of Representatives, yes.
It's House Bill 259. Bill 259.
And that legislation would allow for the practice of complementary and alternative medicine in the state of Ohio, because many providers who are producing supplements like your company, Chuck, or are offering advice and counsel on healthy lifestyle choices are being harassed by the Ohio Dietetics Board. The bill is there to protect the interests of this industry, say, who are actually doing things that are helping people. It's called complementary and alternative medicine. And it's funny because I always laugh that the real alternative or non-traditional medicine is the synthetic stuff that you're getting from the pharmaceutical companies these days, not the homeopathics and the natural products that are being called alternative.
What this bill would do was stop the shenanigans that happened to Mr. Cooksey while still helping to regulate people who would put up a signal and tout themselves as dietary counselors, and it would continue to allow the state boards to regulate those individuals who would tout themselves as healthcare professionals. In the meantime, it would keep amateurs like Mr. Cooksey from facing prosecution for simply giving smart advice. So once again, that's HB 259. Call your state representative and ask them to ask that HB 259 be passed through the committee. Which committee is it again?
It's the House Health, Human Services, and Aging Committee.
And with that, we're out of time. Join us again for another Principles and Policies.